Going to the hurry up offense.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. All day breakfast, now more choices. Go get you some, put it in your belly. Morning, noon, or night, it's always a good choice. And we have chosen to be joined in Studio 66, and they have answered the call, and we are better for it. Matt Harmon, fantasy guru and beyond, and Cynthia Freeland, our analytics expert, and our emerging pal here, and a prime candidate, as are you, Matt Harmon, for the coveted Shecky Award, our favorite non-football playing guest, one of many Shecky Awards that will be handed out at the end of December. In the meantime, we have a lot to get to here in Studio 66 as we get you ready for Week 13. Hello, Cynthia Freeland.
Hello.
I'll start with you in the breaking news here. You're reading about it. As we are recording, we are learning that Rob Gronkowski is being shelved temporarily, and it's not exactly clear how long. What can you tell us, Freeland?
Reportedly undergo back surgery for a herniated disc. 8 weeks is what we're hearing right now as we're taping this podcast. It's 8 weeks herniated disc surgery.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, this is, I said this within the last week, and I have said it for the last 3 years, as a matter of fact, that I have the Jenga theory. The Jenga theory being in the NFL that every team in the 21st century is going to lose some pieces. They are going to be removed from the Jenga tower. But if you remove the wrong piece, the entire thing implodes. Now, we don't apply it to quarterbacks because, you know, any good team has a good quarterback and the whole thing gets scuttled if you take that away. But among non-QBs, to me, Rob Gronkowski is the most important Jenga piece. Ergo, I now say the AFC is wide open. This is wild. And, you know, I mean, Tom Brady has a bad knee. He's a 39-year-old man. The defense isn't very good. Let's start with you here, Cynthia. What can react as best you can right now?
I'm thinking Josh McDaniels is like, all right, here's my interview. This is how I'm going to show any other team that potentially needs a head coach. I'm going to lose my Jenga piece, the bottom one, right on the, you know, the outside one that you just, you're like, why would you take that one first? What an idiot. But that's what he's going to show you. He's going to show you this right here. You know, you can put aside the past, and Josh McDaniels is showing you this is his audition to become a head coach.
Well, and I always, again, the other thing here is this is going to, now Gronk is already in his relatively young career, has already missed 18 games from injury. This is now another little theory of mine is the Earl, or not theory, this is a fact, is the Earl Campbell syndrome, which is to say the bigger guy, you always think, well, he's inflicting damage on his foes, but in fact, when it takes that much to get a guy to the ground, he's ultimately the one who suffers the most attrition, and it seems to happen more quickly than it does to other players. Rob Gronkowski, man, this is a recurring issue for him, is getting banged around, and not good news for the 2016 Patriots.
It's the burn fast but burn out quick sort of thing with Gronk right now. But I don't know. The question with the Patriots is, are they going to have other players step up and emerge as threats there? I mean, they've had Malcolm Mitchell start to come on, and you know I like Malcolm Mitchell, so I think that's going to be exciting for his prospects. They do have a pretty solid running game with LeGarrette Blount there, and I think, you know, he can obviously take some of the pressure off.
Well, listen, I hate to play cynic on that, but a big part of that running game is Rob Gronkowski and Marty Bennett, and
true,
the fact that you constantly have the defense on its heels, because when they go two tight ends, you don't know if those two tight ends are going to attack you down the middle or if they're going to run block for you. I think this legitimately puts a dent into their running game too.
I think it might. Of course, with the Patriots, you can never really stack the box too much. You know, they still have Brady back there. They still have other players. I mean, you mentioned the AFC is wide open. I tend to agree with you, because outside of the offense, the defense has not played well, especially their pass defense has been weak. So I think they can be challenged by other teams, and I think the Raiders are sitting pretty well.
I mean, they did add Marty Bennett, and that's now a major piece for them, because if you recall the AFC title game in Denver last year, when they were up against it, nothing was working for them. The one thing that they did have was 87, and Brady recognized that and just was trying to feed the ball as much as he could, and they almost survived as a result. If they don't have that, though, who is that? I mean, Freeman.
Matt Lengel. I just looked it up on Our Lads to know who the next tight end would be.
What do you think, though? I mean, so are the Patriots, as of now, I don't know if you had them before this news, if you still had the Patriots as the best bet to get to the Super Bowl. Who now is?
Well, you know, the AFC West, it's, to me, it's like, who's coming out of the AFC West, because Oakland Raiders look great, but we have some questions about their defense. And if they can get that defense to kind of do what they're – I mean, Khalil Mack has come on really strong, but the cornerbacks, David Amerson didn't play last week, and we saw a lot of vulnerability in those cornerbacks when you didn't have the best one when he was out. So that's the concern there. You know, the Broncos looked – we saw some ways that they could be beat as well. And now the Chiefs, but then they lost to Tampa. It's a very confounding AFC West. But I think that's where you might see your AFC. That's it.
Well, and, you know, AFC, again, with that Kansas City defense, and I know in 2015 that they went up to Foxborough and couldn't get over, and the Andy Reid forever two-minute drill and all that. But if Dee Ford and Justin Houston are right, you saw what they did a mile high.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that offensive line in New England ain't much better than what Denver's got going there. I think that's a mismatch, too. So interesting stuff, and we'll try to make sense of it for you as we press forward. Now to continue with the hurry up, on the other side of things, a perennial favorite to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, the Green Bay Packers, all of a sudden behind Cynthia Freeland's Detroit Lions. Big victory up in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. However, as I've said all season long, I think I've been pretty consistent about this. Settle down, everybody. This is one of the dumbest controversies I've ever heard, that Aaron Rodgers isn't good anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody who jumped in at the end of September, I don't know. Oh, he's, his best days are behind him. All this nonsense. He's still the best in the business in my book. He's still the best I've ever seen. But it leads me to this. You know, you always hear about
Aaron Rodgers is the best you've ever seen.
The best quarterback I've ever seen, Freeland.
You're not, like, historically or right now?
The best I've ever seen.
Ever.
The best quarterback I've ever watched play football.
You think he's better than Tom Brady?
I think it's two different things.
Think he's better than
the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time, definitely that. Greatest of all time is Tom Brady. The pelts on the wall, you can't argue with Tom Brady, his deeds. But visually, just watching a guy play, Aaron Rodgers can do more and do it better than anybody I've ever seen.
If I can side with Dave here, I think what he's saying is, yeah, that he's not necessarily, maybe not the greatest quarterback ever to play, but just watching him, like, I probably say, wow, watching Aaron Rodgers more than I say, wow, watching Tom
Brady. Doesn't he do well? What is the flaw in his game? He doesn't get rid of it as quickly as Tom Brady or Peyton or Drew Brees. Maybe that's the knock on him.
But
otherwise,
that's part of what makes him good. Not getting, like,
right.
Just, you know.
But
he
makes up for it by his ability to extend plays in a way that none of those guys can. And when he spins out, when he's got pressure on him, when he spins out and does that long loop in the backfield and comes out at full speed on the other side, that's devastating. I know he's not the runner that Mike Vick is or was, but he's one of the greatest functional scramblers I've ever seen. Great out of the pocket on the move, slinging the ball out of the pocket. And he had the flick. Now we're getting down the rabbit hole.
Okay, but here's my one argument. And I'm not arguing that he's not elite, because he's absolutely right up there. Greatest all time is a very hard thing, because there is a lot of different ways that you can measure it. My only thing is, if you were to ask all 52 of Tom Brady's teammates, or however many he's had over the year, like, do they want to play their hardest for him? They'd be like, heck yeah, I'm all in for TB12.
If you were
to ask all of Aaron Rodgers' teammates from this, and let's just say when he started, I don't think you'd get that same response. And they're with him every day and seeing that, like, those practices and the things that go into making a team really great. So that's my only, like, I've never heard of his teammates, like, he can do 16,000 UGG commercials. I don't even care. He's the man, you know, like, and that you just don't see that kind of rallying around Aaron Rodgers.
I think it's probably a different discussion. I mean, there are plenty of guys I love. I think they're great at their job here, but I don't want to hang out outside. I mean, come on, geez.
I'm sitting right next to you, Harmon.
All
right, I'm
going
to give it to you
first,
Matt Harmon. You hear a lot of talk in the world about the figurative 10-foot pole. I wouldn't touch that crazy statement with a 10-foot pole. Of course, here in Studio 66, we have the literal 10-foot pole. And today's question is, the Packers now, on the strength of Aaron Rodgers starting to turn it around here a little bit, can they in fact win out and steal that division and get to January? Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
Well, let's just look at their schedule.
Okay.
As I'm holding this thing, they got the Texans at home.
Their big one is next Sunday.
Seahawks at home.
That's the big one.
It is at home. That's kind of nice. Then they go on the road to face the Bears. They get the Vikings back at home, and then they get the Lions in week 17 in Detroit.
In week 17 is the weird week, though, where they could theoretically both be in.
And
just play for home field.
Yeah, I think that could be like the division winning game. Like, whoever
could be.
That's the win and get in game. I was feeling really awkward holding this thing right now, but I am not.
It's easy to shoot your mouth off about a figurative 10-foot pole, but the literal one is a little weightier, isn't it?
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I don't think
the pack's going to do it?
No, I don't.
I think there is
a more likely chance that they don't do it than they do it.
I'm 100% with you, and I don't even think they end up. I think they're nice number three. I still think the Vikings pull it off. I think the Vikings are the line. I know. It seems crazy. But
Vikings.
Let's go back and talk about quality wins versus, like, I am not saying it's not Aaron Rodgers playing well, because he has played very well, especially the past few weeks. And even those losses, like Atlanta, those weren't on him. Mm-hmm. But that defense,
it's atrocious.
They're all gone.
Right.
They're all hurt. So we can't just overestimate the offense and Aaron Rodgers' ability to just find ways to make things happen. You've also got the other side of the ball to consider. And for me, that's where they're not doing any. There's nothing that's. I mean, unless somehow everyone gets like off of IR and like some miracle. I don't know, something we've never seen happen before.
Well, the one I'm circling again. I say again, is the Seattle game. If they can
and Minnesota too. And Minnesota too, even though it's at home in Lambeau. I know.
That's just. I mean, I think the magic is gone out of the Twin Cities. They did everything they could to wring whatever they could out of that.
No way, Xavier Rose is back. We got some good things going on
that
there
is,
too.
But that's
their
the
front
like
the seven's
worst,
really good. Like
but the worst running game in NFL history, isn't it? Like on a yards per carry basis.
I mean, that one guy that could make a big difference could be coming
Sid
back.
Freeland's Lions atop the NFC.
Now that's the one I actually like. I would actually say it won't be the Lions more than I'd say that it will be the Lions. I have very little.
All right, let's start the show. Yes, hi and hello, and welcome to the DDFP once again, and still presented by McDonald's. Sorry, I cut you off there, Freeland,
good.
But Emma VP was cracking the whip.
Listen,
behind the glass.
Whatever Emma VP says.
Start the show. She's a taskmaster back there.
As
all right.
She should be. Have you met us? We could talk forever.
True.
Especially you two.
We have our Red Challenge flag picks for Week 13 coming up for you. We have a full menu of games crafted once again by Emma VP. We've got a lot to discuss here, including, there are a lot of big games, so I'm not going to run through them now for you. In the meantime, I do want to let you know that Cynthia Freeland, make sure you're checking her out on Thursday Night Football, on game day morning. Ooh, Dave is going to make an appearance on game day morning doing
Look
a little essay
too.
About a couple of quarterbacks hooking up in Heinz Field. That's
oh.
I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to tell you who I'm talking about, though. Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, listen.
I've never heard that before.
You don't know who the quarterbacks that are going to be in Heinz Field I'm talking about. Might be Landry Jones. You don't know who I could be talking
probably,
about.
Probably.
FD Landry Lefty Jones. May get out there. Jared Lorenzen. You don't know.
You know, I put together some special stats for you just on the defenses in this case, just because I thought that'd be
ooh,
kind
la,
of a
la.
Cool way to look at it.
All right, and we also are going to do – we have some big stories that we have to get to as well here, including Tyreek Hill, Willie Snead, and, like I say, that matchup in Heinz Field. In the meantime, though, something we do pretty much every week here in season, it's really caught on like wildfire, and now even some NFL players are getting into it pseudo. It's dad jokes, and dad jokes are, of course, we started doing it because between me – Matt Money Smith, who now had to leave Studio 66 to go and kibitz about the Gronk news here. So he's not with us, and Handsome Hank is off traveling the football planet, so he's not here. So I'll have to do some of the heavy lifting here. But, Harmon, if I know you're not a dad.
A dog dad.
Oh, that's gross.
I know that bothers you. That's why.
Well, it bothers all human beings.
That's not true.
Who have actual human children.
Those are overrated.
Dog dad. People are creepy who do that. That's not attractive.
Just I think that the job title of stay-at-home pet parent is a great one, though.
So I guess Freeland, speak on behalf of all women out there on the face of the earth, and Emma VP, you can weigh in too. Is it creepy if you meet a single guy and he's telling you like, yeah, my little dog is my baby? Isn't that creepy?
Can I just say before you guys?
You kind of just
is,
did
no,
say that,
but yeah, that's for the bit here. If I was actually out trying to meet a woman, I would.
I gotta
not,
get home. My little, he's my little baby.
I would not. I would not
it
say.
Totally
I would not.
On how you bring it up?
Yeah, I would not. If I would, I mean, I always bring up the dog, but I would not be like my little baby here. That's weird. It's definitely weird.
But like, if you saw him like walking his dog to maybe a doggy food truck. And he was like, hey, I'm bringing my, like, it's got to do my parent duties, like, as a joke, and, like, made it kind of witty. Then it works.
I don't know. All right. It's off-putting to me, but who am I? Well, you're not trying to impress
me. Too
bad
I'm not trying to impress you.
Right. That's exactly right. That's fine by me. All right. So let's get to it. Dad jokes. And like I say, Justin Tucker, kicker of the Baltimore Ravens, told a pseudo dad joke at the podium after the game last Sunday. Let's hear it.
You guys smell that? It smells like Up Dog.
What's Up Dog?
Nothing much, man. So are you. All right. Let's get started.
He was very pleased with that, as you could plainly hear.
Very pleased with
that. I wonder how far in advance he thought of that. And he's like, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
You know that's from The Office, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did get that one. Okay, so MVP, as usual, you can send them along here, Czech Republic, if you'd like to, hashtag dad jokes, and we'll choose the best. MVP has made her selections for the best this week. Let's read through a couple of those. Merle sends along, a dime, a nickel, and a penny are crossing a bridge. The nickel and penny fall off. Why not the dime?
Well, it had more sense.
It had more sense. Very nice, Freeland. Very nice. Well done by you there, Merle, as well. Dan Moe sends along, how have you overlooked the best dad joke of all time? Did you hear about our camping trip? It was intense. Very cute. You like that one, MVP. You're laughing about that one.
This guy's pandering to you.
Respect for you now dropped off a little, MVP, after you laugh at that one. Glenn Emerges says, what are the two strongest days? The answer is Saturday and Sunday. The rest are weekdays. Cute. Hey, you know what? As this grows beyond Studio 66, others here at NFL Media are getting in on the act, including from Fantasy and Friends, beloved producer Dick Is a Cow. How are you, Dick?
I'm living the dream.
Clearly.
I have a day off from working on Fantasy and Friends, so it's a good day.
Yeah, wow. Well, you've crafted a dad joke you're proud of. We'll be the judge of its quality.
So I'm actually working on a book with my son, 4-year-old. We decided last week we're going to write a book of dad jokes because they feature jokes like these. What do you call a good-looking fox?
What do you call a good-looking fox?
A fox.
That's pretty funny.
What, that's a good one because you're like, fox.
What did the goat think of the fox joke?
I don't know.
Meh.
I like that one too.
Did the horse like the goat joke?
Nay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Dick Is a Cow has done it.
Good job.
JD, the director, you have one as well, don't you?
How did the moon cut its hair?
How did the moon cut its hair?
Eclipse it.
Oh, that's good. That's pretty. That's quality.
Cynthia Harmon, do you have one you'd like to drop on us? I did meet Cynthia Freeland's father at the Nerve Center of the NFL last week. You and your lovely mother.
Yeah, my mom has probably more dad jokes than my dad now because my mom has been really trying to get them in here. So next week I'll bring you back one from her.
Okay. I have one for you. I try to keep them pro football centric when I can. Here's my joke for this week. Which NFL team does Mike Pence fear most using the men's room? This isn't really a dad joke. It's just a bad pun. We've extended beyond just the dad jokes. But anyway, which NFL team does Mike Pence fear most using the men's room?
Please tell us, Dave.
The Bengals. Get it?
I get it.
It's like an opposite of a Bruce Jenner kind of a
thing.
Interesting.
That's
right.
I have a dad joke. Can I tell it?
Oh,
I actually have one this time.
Okay.
All right. Did you guys hear about
that? Did you like Ben Gals, MVP? No, you didn't like that one.
It's not your jam.
It's not my jam.
Oh! That's rude.
Who says it's not my jam?
That was Tara Deaker from Pie Off 5. Anyway.
Classic.
Go ahead.
Classic Deaker. Did you hear about the three holes in the ground?
No.
Well, well, well.
Oh.
Good one.
Oh, what is that music?
Now MVP likes that one, though. That one's okay. Ben Gal had some edge to it. You don't like.
Well, well, well was really good.
I got to say. That was Bartlett who played that Debbie Downer music. I like that one.
Ben Gow.
Well, you're the one I'm trying to impress, Emma.
You get it?
Please.
Good work.
I don't think Emma got that one. Ben Gow.
I get it.
They're former.
If you have to keep explaining the joke
right.
after
That's
someone else has already told
joke.
The joke, we're moving past it.
I got it.
Yep.
I got it.
My name's on the show. I don't think I need this kind of grief. All right, let's. Oh, one more thing before we jump into who we're loving this week, going into week 13 here is update on Football Baby. The travels continue. Feel free and we encourage you to bring him along to your next football venture. There, you can go to Twitter at Damashek. And pinned to the top of my account there is Football Baby.
Football Baby.
He was all over the place last weekend. He went to the Grey Cup. He went to Australia.
He speaks French?
Yeah. I mean, it's terrific. Yeah, he was in Baltimore. He was in New Jersey. He was everywhere that football was being played and beyond. Like I say, to either print out the PDF or just hold it up on your cell phone there. It's like Flat Stanley for the 21st century. His passport across the football planet continues to get stamped all over the place. He's been in the UK. How many continents has he been in then? He's been in at least three, right? He's been in Australia, which counts as its own continent.
It's a well-traveled
I don't think we talk about that enough. Why does Australia get its own? It's not just a country,
so
but it's also a continent.
I think it's good. I met one of our Fantasy Live podcast listeners, which you can find at NFL.com /podcast.
Oh, I didn't introduce you.
Or iTunes. You can find that there. And we met one of our podcast listeners that's from Australia. So I stand up for the country of Australia.
Anywho, Football Baby, take them along to the games in week 13. Let's jump into it now. And Cynthia, I'll start with you. It's time for Who Are You Loving? Who are you loving going into week 13, Freeland?
I'm loving Tyreek Hill. I always love a good sleeper. And I think – you don't like that one?
No.
It was a very pensive
I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Got it. Well, they're playing the Falcons, who are missing Desmond Trufant, their cornerback, which could be good for Tyreek Hill, who seems to have taken over the number one duties with the injured Jeremy Maclin.
When is Maclin's return? I know he's back at practice.
It could be this week.
Does that dent from a fantasy perspective or does that create any concern for you or is it not as easy?
I don't know about Cynthia, but for me, what makes it a little easier to deal with is that he's kind of like a manufactured touch player anyways. Like
right.
They're looking for ways to get him the ball, not just in a traditional number one sense, but you know, he might play only about two-thirds of the snaps, but when he's on the field, they're looking at
right. He averages four receptions off five targets, which a game.
I kind of feel like he already has trumped what they wanted Tavon Austin to be in L.A. I feel like this is what Tyreek is doing already.
Look at the difference in investment.
And he's more rugged, obviously. He's a thicker guy.
There were some character concerns that they had about
right.
Tyreek Hill, and he seems to have really earned their respect. And the people that I know at the Chiefs really really love him. They think he's great teammate, they think he's doing a great job and working his butt off. So oftentimes you see people get rewarded in those situations, and you've seen that. I mean, he's catching 80% of the balls that are thrown his way. People are going to throw you more balls if you keep doing that.
Andy Reid loves a good redemption story.
I'll tell you
Andy Reid also loves a good, like, here's my game plan. This is what it is, and he seems to be in it. So you should
True.
Be.
We had a great show this Tuesday with Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew. I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go and dig that one up. In lieu of that, though, I will say what I already said on that show. Keep in mind, that Chiefs victory, and we can bellyache. I'm all for Kubiak going for it, especially given the position of the Broncos in 2016, which is that they are the reigning champs. Be aggressive. This is the time for such moves as that. But either way, it obscured the great performance by the Chiefs going into a tough spot there. And as a reminder, like we say, Jeremy Maclin wasn't out there. Dee Ford wasn't out there. And Jamaal Charles may or may not be back in time for the postseason. This is the team to be nervous about. AFC.
They're also missing Jay Howard, who is very good at stopping the run, which he doesn't get as much. He's not in as sexy of a position, so you don't hear about his stats or his name, but he's also one that they were without. And that run game is a really important balancing. I mean, with Houston back, Andy Ford, and also getting Jay Howard back, then you're
right.
You're having a good.
And the other thing is the vapid cynic will always point to Alex Smith. He can't get it done. That's the problem for this team. And maybe so, but I will point to three games that disprove that. One, his performance in Indianapolis 2 years ago in the wild card round when the defense failed him, when he had a great offensive performance. Two, the game he played against New Orleans in San Francisco several years ago and was nails in that one and pulling that one out. And then the following week, they played the Giants, and they essentially had the Giants beaten were it not for Kyle Williams fumbling twice. Then he would have been a Super Bowl quarterback. So the narrative that he wasn't good enough to get a team to the Super Bowl would no longer exist.
Alex Smith is asked, does what he's asked to do. Sometimes when you like go back and you try to see what they called, it can be a bit of a vanilla playbook. Mm-hmm. So if you – it's I don't – like it's a little chicken, little egg to be like Alex Smith yeah. or – you know, it's really hard to kind of assign who he's done what's been asked of him.
Well, but
and they're adjusting
what
they're asking of him to suit his.
Just
talents,
think about this. Think about if they do have Jamal Charles, and then they do have a low end number one option in Jeremy Maclin, and then they have a high end tight end in Travis Kelce. Then you have this crazy X factor Percy Harvin guy in Tyreek Hill running around as well. That's a scary offense all of a sudden, and the defense is mighty. Hey, come on in here. We have a new. Member of the Czech Republic in the DDFP.
Yay.
It's Eddie. Eddie
Thank
Spaghetti.
You so much.
Although earlier.
Great. Thank you.
I saw him bringing in some refreshments.
Oh, beautiful.
Eddie Spaghetti is from New York. And I.
How'd you know exactly what I wanted? Thank you.
He also has. He had a Rangers hat on today. And I don't care for New York Rangers. Like Texas Rangers,
is he from,
I can forgive.
Is he from?
He's from New York, but that doesn't mean I approve of him being a Blue Shirts fan. But one thing I will say, Freeland, you're an Original Six guy, girl. I almost called you a guy. You're a Detroit Wings fan.
Yep.
One emotion that the Blue Shirts don't evoke in me is fear. I don't fear them. I laugh at them. They're gum on my shoe.
So, like, sort of, you know, he's just showing you that he's tough.
He cheers who he wants. I pity him is who I pity that's as good as he can do. Same thing as even worse would be to be a Capitals fan. I laugh at them as well. Now,
that's
the Flyers and Islanders and Devils, now I have mixed feelings about them. Some of them.
Interesting.
Hateful.
Hateful?
Oh, I hate the Flyers. I always say.
What do you think about the Sabres?
Well, 32 football fan bases hit me up on Twitter and otherwise to let me know that I'm a hater and I hate their team. Even Steelers fans will do that sometimes.
Oh. Steelers fan thinks
sometimes
that you're a
hater? Sometimes they think, out of context, they think I'm a
hater.
I've been accused of being a hater of literally every team.
That's
I have
funny.
No
part
emotion.
Part of the job.
I have one emotion. I'm emotional about one football team. That's the Steelers. I don't have any real hatred for any other NFL team. I do hate the Philadelphia Flyers, though. I do. And I hate the Islanders.
What about the Sabres?
And who else?
The Sabres, Buffalo.
What are we doing?
No, Sabres.
I really like Jack Eichel, so I'd be
like
sad
him.
If you didn't
I like him
Sabres.
Too.
He's fun to watch.
I am loving, to let you know, I am loving the Eli and Big Ben showdown in Heinz Field.
Are you?
I know.
You're loving something to do with the Steelers?
I know. Well,
okay.
No. Because I do like to circle this. I love, I love Super Bowl history. For me, the NFL turns on. I like the AFL, and I'm fascinated by what was going on in the 60s. But, you know, it really, my breadth of knowledge, I immodestly will say, starts in the Super Bowl era. And, you know, I think it's weird that everybody – no one wants to be called, wants to be accused of recency bias, and they want to be icy, they have some distance from everything before they declare those things. And then it ends up over-favoring guys that have been retired for 20 years. And, you know, people say, well, Eli and Big Ben, they have four rings, but they had great defenses. And as you will hear me say on game day morning this Sunday, you know who else had great defenses when they won the Super Bowl? Every other quarterback who won the Super Bowl, save a couple of examples in a half century of evidence. I mean, you generally have a good defense when you win the Super Bowl. So it's hokum when people hold that. Well, Eli didn't. He was just a pass. Was he a passenger when he threw a touchdown pass with 35 seconds
left? Yeah, I think that's
silly. Was Big Ben when he drove them down the field in 2 minutes with Santonio Holmes? Was he a passenger on that journey?
I would have liked to be a passenger on that journey.
By the way, they're both going to the Hall of Fame. And so too is Phil Rivers, and your agreement is not necessary.
Can I pull out my stat for you now?
Please.
Okay, so last 4 weeks, so weeks 9 through 12, Steelers and Giants defenses tied for the third fewest points per game. They're tied in a number of ways. They're tied only allowing 18 points per game, right? 16 sacks, four interceptions and seven touchdowns allowed. All the same. Past 4 weeks.
Really? Mm-hmm. Whoa. Fascinating. Fascinating. We're going to pick that one in just a second. I was about
Fine.
To say, who do you think's going to have? No, I loved it, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'll pull back. See, this is why everybody behind the glass, Emma VP and Ryan Bartlett, you can't talk to me in my ear. Just say it on the show. When you talk to me, then that made me seem rude to Cynthia because you were talking in my ear while she was giving that stat, and I'm a pro. You see, I'm a pro's pro, and that's why I faked, like, oh, that was really interesting. I have no idea what Cynthia just said, but she'll bring it back up later.
This is hugely professional right now.
Well, you know what? I blame the people behind the glass. Everything's gone to pot since Eddie Spaghetti made the scene.
Now, that's
everything
a good
was
point.
Going great, and then all of a sudden, Eddie Spaghetti walks point. In the door, and it's gone downhill.
Now, that's a fair point.
He doesn't respect you!
It's just like when you know what? It's like when Rick Nash made it to the blue shirts. Everything's gone down. It seemed like a good addition at the time, but it has not worked out, has it? No, Eddie Spaghetti. It hasn't.
Is Eddie Spaghetti old enough to know that one?
Well, no, yeah, Rick Nash is on the blue shirts.
I don't like these ageist jokes you're making.
Eddie Mio. Jokes. The only thing I like about the Rangers is that they had a goalie named Eddie Mio, which is a great name.
That is a nice name.
The better name in Rangers history is Rajo Ruotsalainen. Rajo Ruotsalainen. Don't give me a delay of game. All right, let's get to it. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Ooh, look at this. Emma VP,
you,
our
Emma.
Waiter today.
Yay.
Hello, Emma VP.
It's making me hungry.
Oh, boy.
A pleasure to see you.
Thank
this
you.
Is a fun one. Ooh, it's Sheck's homer run. I mean, this charge of me being a homer is outrageous. Do you think I'm a homer, Harmon?
Yes, you're a homer. Come
on. Do you think that, Cynthia?
Because not only are you a homer,
but in a good way. I mean, you're honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're fine.
You own it.
I was going to say he's not owning it right now.
No, I don't own it. I root for a team. That doesn't make me a homer.
You root for a team.
If I couldn't see clearly as a result of my rooting interest, that would make me a homer.
I disagree. But I think that all part of being a homer is all the emotions that go into it, and you display the classic negative emotions of a homer too. That you
right.
are always. In fear. You're constantly living in fear.
I have that
fear.
Too. I live in fear. I constantly think that.
See, you guys got to get woke like me. I got no emotional attachments to this thing.
That's a weird way to operate. I don't understand people who work in pro football who don't care about a pro football team. That to me
I care about the whole
that
I care
to me
about,
is weird.
I care about all the children equally.
You well, know, but
I get
have,
it,
like,
but
every year you kind of have some teams that you
oh,
like.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
So you like the Lions, well me right.
For sure.
Like, you like you kind of like your you like I like the
but
Raiders.
That's my connection. But you know it's the irony to me. The sad irony for me is when a fan tells me from a fan of another team says you're such a homer, you're a hater, whatever. Listen, I am you. I'm watching my team. I am invested in this team.
You
do not connect with that. That of course the way you feel about your team probably is in line with how I feel about my team and the emotions
people
that we go through.
People are short-sighted.
They're weird. All right, let's get to it.
Sheck's
Homer Run Grill. And by the way, you can always read Emma's great
you should read
NFL right. schedule menus at NFL.com. Is there a way to try? Oh, NFL.com/NFL menus is how you
it's
do
a
it.
Good one.
I'm telling you, 100% of people who look at this rave on and on, including Cynthia Freeland's mother, who said to me
True.
Last week,
Love.
Unironically said to me, oh, I always listen when Cynthia's on your show, and the main reason I check it out is because of Emma's menus.
She owns it.
What about me? She's like, Emma's menus. Emma's menus.
You're That's somewhere it. In the power rankings.
That's
there.
Kind of her.
All right, Appreciate Emma VP, lay it on us. Let's start it off with Bills and Raiders as an appetizer.
All right, we have our Bills versus Raiders peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Ditch your home plate in favor of stacking a box of our Khalil Mack Sacker Jacks coated in Derek Caramel and Oakland Corn Cola Syrup. If you're lucky, you may even find a Lombardi prize inside. Note, if our Bills get their molasses kicked, you're welcome to ask for our sunflower seeding, though an impending strike three for Rex could be cause for a changeup.
Excellent, excellent
well
work.
Done.
I really meditated on this one. I could absolutely see the Bills doing it. Sammy Watkins back at practice. I like where this Bills team is headed, and I'm going to take the Raiders. This is unscientific, so this will bother you, Cynthia. But
it doesn't bother me.
I just feel like, you know, when you're riding as high as the Raiders are, they kind of did have a little slip up there in the third quarter against a game Carolina team. I could see the Bills showing up and taking this one because mm-hmm. the Bills need it. The Raiders don't aren't desperate for this one, although now all of a sudden they have to have their sights on the number one seed. I don't know. I'm taking the Raiders by a whisker.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And everything same you just said. With the whisker, too. You know, yeah. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Sammy Watkins, if he's able to play, you know, there's yes, no in terms of practicing. But if he's able to play, I think he's going to be pivotal in their ability to get the ball down the field, which isn't something that's been kind of questionable going forward or in the past. Mm-hmm. And going forward, he's their answer for that because he's excellent, especially yards after the catch. He's great at that. So he makes Tyrod Taylor look amazing. You can run on the Raiders. You know what Tyrod Taylor does? He runs really well. So I do think that you're gonna see the Bills have some success. I just think that the Raiders have a formula. They have a formula for winning. They have a formula for, you know, they're going to use the glove as an inspiration. They've got the juju going, you know.
Smell the glove, everybody. Eagles and Bengals are playing. You can read all of these, like I say, NFL.com/menus, right? NFL menus or menus, MVP?
NFL menus.
NFL menus. Okay, let's get to it. The main events, the favorites. Let's talk about the Giants and Steelers.
All right, we have our Giants versus Steelers nachos. You've got to try our D'Angelo-loaded nachos with tortilla chip shots covered in pico del gallo, retied beans, and a sprint of Eli Manning. Mm. Can't seem to find a certain second-year wideout on the board? You're not alone. Ask the counter for our secret menu to unlock our Dangerous Sammy Ghost Pepper Sauce.
Oh, MVP. Very nice. That's all right, let's get to it here. Let's do this red challenge flag style. Matt Harmon, you merely need to say one of those two teams, Giants, Steelers, choose.
I'm going with Giants.
Freeland?
I don't have a...
You need a red flag? Throw it, sister! Throw it! Yeah! 7 in company. Why so, Freeland?
Well, when I looked at... I told you I found that... So the stat that you missed was that both of their defenses are tied in the, over the past 4 weeks, tied exactly at third fewest points per game allowed. That's 18 points per game each. 16 sacks, 4 interceptions, and 4 touchdowns allowed. Their defenses have been playing very similarly. And I think in your head, when you think of... when you've been imagining the Steelers, you think like, wow, you can beat their corners. You can beat them in the air. You can do this. And when you think of, you know, you hear Odell Beckham say, we have a Super Bowl caliber defense, all these things, and they've been getting better and healthier. You're right. But then when you look at the actual what's happened, and yes, they did play different people, so the quality is a bit different. But I think that the Steelers are coming together now in the time when they need to be. And I think the Giants still have a bunch of questions. Their run game has been a question mark, and the ability to do that consistently will open up their pass game. And for me, the Steelers have that balance with Lev Bell and with Antonio Brown.
Well, I think, you know, the inclination may be, I think a lot of Steelers fans would like to see the Steelers try to, or maybe they're just cynically falling back on, well, now we got to win every game in a shootout because our defense can't hold up. But I think what Todd Haley and company want to do going forward is feature 26 as much as they can, and
as they should,
and short games. I think that's what they want to do going forward. And by the way, with the defense, I mention it just about every week. I'll mention it again. Watch number 91, Stephon Tuitt. He is for real. He's blowing up plays almost every week against whoever the
foe
is.
Does he do it to it?
Oh, let's hand that one over to MVP for next week. But yes, I like to it, and Javon Hargrave is coming on a little bit too.
He's
so
a good player.
Even though Cam Hayward is down and out for the year, the defensive front isn't bad. And as long as Shazier is out there, they're not an atrocious defense because he is a difference maker.
Shazier
out there
is a difference maker.
Yeah, he's terrific. I'm gonna take the Steelers at home by a whisker, but I could
shock.
I mean, obviously, shock. I pick against the Steelers plenty. One thing that is at stake though. If the Steelers win out, I will hit on the 11-5 preseason prediction, which would make it 5 years in a row where I have correctly predicted what the Steelers' record is
going
to be.
Well, they're not going to win this game. I already told you that.
All right. Do you have a reason you'd like to offer up, or do you just want to be a creep?
A bit of both. I don't know. I think that the Giants definitely can win in a shootout against the Steelers. I think so. My question with the Steelers, and frankly, I got questions about both these teams, whether they're like legit contenders, and I don't think that they are. I don't think the Steelers, like, they have two great offensive weapons, but they don't really have any other counterpunches unless Ladarius Green starts to emerge.
I was about to say, I think
end.
That Ladarius Green could be a a little X factor.
But there. He has barely played, though. But if he does come out, he's run a bunch of routes when he's actually been on the field in percentage-wise. So if he does come out and have a breakout game, I think that would be really good.
I will
sign.
Say I do think Eli Rogers has proven to be a little bit of a weapon there.
Fine.
Circumstantially. And Sammy Coates, if he can come back with the hand, he is
what
at
month
least –
what is this? Is this September again?
You saw in the early part of the season that when he gets singled up, Seven is going to throw it at him every time, and the defenses are kind of helpless. When you single him up with that kind of speed, it's just a matter of if Coates is actually going to hold on to the ball when it goes to him.
Big question.
All right, one more with Freeland because she's got to go talk about Gronk too here. But it is her team, and this is a fascinating ball game down in NOLA. Lions and Saints. Tell us about it, waiter.
All right, we have our Lions versus Saints cheeseburger. You're out of your mind if you don't take a swing at our bold and flavored Kobe beef burger with cheddar drew cheese served on a sesame sneed bun.
Ah.
Topped with Darius Slaw, this combo also comes with our golden tater tots, French quarter fries, and a one NFC North liter bottle of fizzling NOLA cola.
Very nice.
Nice.
Very nice. Harmon. Oh, no. Freeland. Lions. Saints. Choose.
Saints.
Ooh. Go ahead, Harmon. You want to throw the red challenge flag? Throw it.
I do not.
You don't? All right. I'm with you. Harmon, why are you going to stay with the Saints here?
Well, I think that the Lions team is another team that I have a lot of questions about, whether they are actually, you know, a division-winning sort of team. Sorry, Cynthia. But I know, no real apologies needed.
No,
but I think that the Lions defense especially has given up a really high passer rating when quarterbacks get the ball out of their hands quickly. And that's what Drew Brees does well. I think his average time to throw is 2.33, and that is the second highest among starting quarterbacks this year. So I think that it's a real bad matchup for
their
defense.
You mean second lowest?
Second lowest,
right,
of course.
Right,
yeah. Second best.
Right,
yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Just
thank,
wanna, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that, mm-hmm. Cynthia. But, yeah, he gets the ball out of his hands quickly. I think it's a bad matchup for their defense. And quite frankly, the Saints defense deserves a little respect, too.
Yep,
they've been like a league average defense of late. You know, not a great unit, but not
which
the sort of –
which is good
of,
enough. Right.
Which is good enough. Not the sort of everybody in the pool matchup in terms of fantasy matchups that you normally think of.
Do we think, though, that 9 times 9, these two number 9 wearing QBs, can equal 81 total points in this game? I feel like there are going to be a lot of points on both sides here.
So – I actually thought this was kind of interesting. So past 4 weeks, Lions defense average 16 points per game given up.
Hmm.
Kind of confounding given their terrible passer rating against. So it's the second fewest over that time period, just in case you were wondering. New Orleans has averaged 33 points per game over that time. The other thing, the Saints defense 8 turnovers and the Lions defense 4, but the Saints have turned the ball over on offense 7 times. So I think it could be a sloppier game than we might imagine. The Lions pass rush has gotten a bit better lately, and the Saints defense has picked up some slack. It's actually, I mean, if money were here, he loves talking about this.
Well, the thing I would top to play cynic on the Lions, and I do like them, and I think Matt Stafford is being regularly left out of the MVP conversation, and that's wrong, because when you're doing it in the fourth quarter the way he is and that team is, I mean, it's
but the problem is that you
I know his numbers
you have
there,
to
but.
No, it's not that the numbers aren't there. The fact that you're constantly being put in this terrible situation shows you that for 3.5 quarters, then something has been not going
it's
right.
It's the John Elway effect, but I always love the gunslinger. All right, so he's going to take some chances over the course of a game and get his team behind
the
eight ball.
Quarter,
if I can offer a theory as to why I think like the Lions have not given up a ton of points lately, but their efficiency metrics look bad, it's that their offense is playing slower than expected. You know, in the preseason, they wanted to play fast and want to get the ball out, run a lot of plays, but I believe their defense is like bottom 5 in plays per game run this season. Or
efficiency metrics. What a Freeland lit up like no one's business too. Harmon and Freeland what was it? Efficiency metrics?
You have to factor in things like penalties, and you have to factor in, and some of that makes things a little muddier. I was surprised at the straight number of points per game allowed just because you think that just kind of like, I was like, wow, that seems very low compared to what you think of. You think of that back and forth. And you're right. They have slowed the pace down quite a bit, except for in the fourth quarter when they have to play really fast.
Yes.
But penalties have been kind of a mucking that up, too.
That's a good point.
All right. I'm back and forth. This is a crazy division. One thing I don't think is the Vikings are going to win it. The division I speak of is obviously the North there. But
I'm full disclosure, Homer, I'm a Lions pessimist. So I actually think the Saints
big. The other thing is, too, about what Drew Brees is doing, another magical season. But those, I mean, for a fan, if you're not – if you play fantasy but you don't really pour over it, the splits of Drew Brees at home and on the road are just the craziest thing you'll ever see. It really, and by the way, as far as that goes, Ben Roethlisberger's home-road splits are
pretty severe, too.
Yeah, they're crazy. So you do want both these guys playing when they are under center.
Freeland doesn't love home and away splits, just so we're clear.
Is that true?
I'm with you, too.
Yeah.
What?
You
have to go talk about Gronk
really,
on
really
the air,
quick,
but I do want to hear
really
about
quick, that. Really quick, the one thing you have to look at is who they played. Because – when you're coming about like, okay, Browns home and away, that evens it out. But not every team has that same Browns home and away this year, right? So you have to look at who they played. You have to look at what day the other team traveled. You have to look at what day they traveled. You have to look at who was available. What were people injured? Did they, you know, there's so many different things that go into it.
No, I do not have to look at any of that. I can shoot from the hip all I want, sister.
You can. Yes.
I, you know what? You and your efficiency metrics and all that, you know what Damashek uses? He uses his heart and his gut, and it serves him well.
The baby does the best of all, and baby uses gravity.
By the way, you just cite like, well, you got to look a little deeper. You just gave us that the Steelers and Giants defenses. Well, the Steelers got humiliated defensively by the Cowboys. Then they played Scott Tolzien's Colts, and that evened things out, right?
Well, yep. And then the Browns, and they both actually had the Browns. Anyway, so you have – there are some differences, yes. But it's just interesting.
All right, Freeland. Hit the bricks.
All right.
Go talk about Gronk. Go make sense of it.
I'll come back.
Harmon and I – no, we'll round it out from here,
oh,
I guess.
Okay, fine.
We'd love to have you back, but I think we'll be all wrapped up by then.
Fair. Fine with me.
Go tell the world about Rob Gronkowski right now. Watch her on NFL Fantasy Live. Again, Thursday Night Football, the pregame with Eisen and all those fellas. And
big-time
then,
stuff.
Of course, game day morning, Cynthia Freeland. She's everywhere. If NFL media is talking, Freeland
is likely. If I'm everywhere, you're like – what is it? Omnipotent?
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent.
And I'm nowhere.
Ubiquitous.
Thank you.
Right. Damashek. Damashek seeks ubiquity.
Lovely.
Your baby. Call your dog. Call your dog your baby. I know you didn't, but now I'm going to say that you did forever. All right, let's get to it, MVP. Let's do two more Red Challenge Flag games. I'll have to pick up the Red Challenge Flag myself here if need be. Let's get to the Rams and the Patriots. We could be quick on this. We just want to hear your menu read.
We have our Rams versus Patriots barbecue sandwich. Stop by our snack bar, Kevius, for a Brian quick bite of our barbecue Kenny brisket and Greg Zorloin steak sandwich served on a cunning hamburger bun with a side of Devin McCourney bread. Note, it may not be juicy when the Rams fail to devour our AFC beast, but you can always take comfort in knowing you have 8-8.
I don't know that we have to spend a lot of time on this one. Tom Brady, as of this recording, is questionable.
We just found out we're out of Gronk also.
Oh, yeah, we're out of Gronk. We do know Gronk won't be out there, and that's, you know, not just this week, but going forward, as long as Gronk is out, as we talked about, a significant absence as big an absence, I think, as any NFL team will have the rest of the way, save a quarterback. This week, though, the Rams are a mess all of a sudden. All sorts of off-the-field controversy with Jeff Fisher and Eric Dickerson.
Seem a little tenuous situation there with the Rams. I'm going the Patriots, obviously, you know, even with or without Gronk. I think that this is a big game for
– I throw the red challenge flag? No, I do not.
I'm not going to take Jared Goff.
That's fine. Go ahead, please.
Since it's just two of us. But I think that this is a good game for LeGarrette Blount. I think they use him to really slow down that pass rush of the Rams. And, you know, I think that they've got plenty of quick passing game players that they want to get the ball out to in a hurry. And that's Malcolm Mitchell, Julian Edelman, maybe not Chris Hogan, who's more of a downfield threat, but I think they put up points in the Rams, and I don't think Jared Goff, a rookie quarterback against Bill Belichick, get out of here.
I'm with you 100%. The name that you didn't mention there is Deion Lewis. I think he's the guy. I don't think this is as much a LeGarrette Blount game, especially without Gronk. I'm skeptical of what they're going to be able to do pounding the ball. They're not going to play that power ball, I don't think, without Gronk out there. He is a major component. This isn't a great offensive line they have, but Gronk and Marty Bennett make them a good power running team. I think Deion Lewis is how you slow the pass rush there.
That's a good point.
So I think he'll have a good one there. I don't know. I could see the Patriots not putting up a big number in this game. I think they're going to survive it, of course.
Like they put up about 21 to 24 points, but it's clear throughout, almost like the San Francisco game. Like it was clear throughout the way they were going to win that game, but they didn't blow them out of the water.
You know what? By the way, Cynthia took the Patriots as well. You know, I look at that and include that in with the performance against the Jets. You can write it off. You can ascribe the Patriots' performance last week to the Jets always play them tough. But the Niners played them tough, too. I know that at least through 30 minutes. It wasn't like that was a blow. The final score showed it, and Brady makes a couple of special plays there in the rain that put it out of reach. But, I keep saying it. 39-year-old Brady, when they go, the thing that you don't know is, but when the NFL player goes, it goes fast. It is not a slow decline. A
little bit of Dan Hansis' slight regression theory here on Tom Brady this year, but you know, this is a lot of what happened with the Patriots last season, and you just push it back 4 weeks because obviously Brady missed the 4 weeks this time. But remember, they started out hot in September last year. They faded down the stretch. I mean, I think they lost to the Dolphins in week 17 last year, still went into the playoffs, but then they really couldn't hold their salt with the Broncos much at all in that playoff game. And you got to wonder if this is the same sort of situation we're seeing play out a year later.
I'm getting closer and closer to making it official, and the world will shake when I make the announcement. I'm getting close to saying the Patriots are not going to Super Bowl 51. I've been saying that consistently all year.
I think I might be with you. Unless team MVP Malcolm Mitchell takes them there.
Well, you know what? But you credit to Harmon. You have been talking about Malcolm Mitchell since August, and you predicted a breakout for him. But they need him they need to be able to just straight out shoot it out with teams.
Yep.
They're going to need to be able to do that in at least one playoff game. It's going to come up that they're going to have to outscore you.
They end up with facing the Steelers if they get in there. They'll need to score.
The Raiders is a possibility there. I'll tell you what, this is the craziest of all. I could absolutely see with the way the Dolphins are playing now, the asterisk is Ryan Tannehill and whether or not he could deal with the January pressure. But I do think I think Jay Ajayi and company, if that offensive line, I think they could go in there and grind the Patriots.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think they're very vulnerable.
And Rex Ryan also likes to play those Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
If the Bills get into the postseason as well. I don't think I'm nervous for the Patriots. All right, last one. Texans Packers, tell us about it.
We have our Texans versus Packers hot dog, a ballpark must. Get yourself our third and long DeAndre hop dog made of Wisconsin style Brockwurst, wrapped up in green bacon and served on Fuller's droppy seed bun. Topped in Lambeau wind chili and Julia's jalapeno peppers, return your palate to the neutral zone by downing 16 pounces of Jadavian Brownie Ale.
Jadavian Brownie Ale is great.
One of those
shot at Will Fuller.
Right.
Will Fuller's droppy seed bun.
Yeah, that was that was good.
Thank you.
The best one.
Texans, Packers, Harmon, choose.
I am going to go Packers here.
Yeah, me too. What am I going to do? Not pick the Packers here after the way we started the show?
I mean, the Texans, how can you have any confidence in picking them right
Who's
now?
Winning that division, the AFC South? Titans, Colts?
I have no idea. That's a good question. I think it's going to end up being the Colts, but I don't like that. It could easily be the Texans. I don't think the Titans get it. Unfortunately, I think they put themselves in too much of a hole to get out of. But I think that the Colts or Texans end up getting it, but I think either one of those teams gets whacked quickly.
It's hard to – well, you throw Andrew Luck into the playoffs. He's had – mild playoff success, at least. Talk about shooting it out with teams. You know, if you get them in there, you have one of those high-end QBs that can put up huge numbers in 60 minutes. They give you at least a chance.
If over the last month their offense really starts to click, then I could see it happening. But they haven't really, Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton, they haven't been on the same field very much this year at all. Frank Gore has played well, and I think they need to get Jack Doyle back involved. So if those guys all start to come together at the same time, I think they could be a dangerous team in the postseason. But until we see it, it's hard to have any confidence.
All right, that's it for us. Who are you rooting for, Eric Dickerson or Jeff Fisher?
I always root against Jeff Fisher.
It's good.
Well, actually, that might not be true, because I think the NFL is better with Jeff Fisher in it because he is a character. Maybe, coaching-wise, who knows, but he's certainly a character.
It's all very weird stuff. It's all very weird. It really is strange. And the Rams can't really go back at Eric Dickerson because it's a bad look in Los Angeles to say to bash a guy who is locally in Los Angeles more supported than the team that just returned. So it really puts them in a tough spot, except that I will say what the Rams should say, or what they could say, is like, hey, if you love the LA Rams so much, then why did you force your way out of here back in 1987?
Just to be clear, I don't find Eric Dickerson to be much of a sympathetic figure in this situation.
That's the point. MVP, we got to do – MVP wants to do the treat. All right, let's round it up with a little treat for you before week 13, everybody.
All right, so your treat is a Panthers versus Seahawks souvenir helmet sundae.
Ooh, I always loved those.
They're good.
Yeah, I saved all those. I have the football helmets and the baseball helmet ones. Dairy Queen Beyond. Go ahead.
All right. Clink your glasses to toast Carroll's quest to lock it up the division with an ice cream Sunday night treat served in a Jonathan souvenir helmet.
Ah.
Rainbow Jimmy's Graham, Cassius Marshmallows, and Chocolate Graham Ganache. Plus, we promise you'll be blown away by all the defensive goodies that fit under our Seattle salary ball cap.
I like it. I like the I really enjoyed the Graham Ganache is very good, but I also liked the Jonathan souvenir.
Thank you, Chef.
Well done, MVP. Very well done. All right, pick that one. Panthers, Seahawks.
I'm going Seattle.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to take the Seahawks too.
Here's the interesting thing about projecting this game: these teams have seen a lot of each other of late, and if you look back at the first three meetings of late, 16-12, 12-7. 13-9. But lately, that game has completely flipped on its course. 31-17, 27-23, 31-24. These games have been high scoring shootouts, and I'm really curious to see how this one ends up coming out. Like, because both these teams have offensive questions, especially along the offensive line. Seattle has a high
5 points in Tampa Bay. That was atrocious.
Unbelievable. And Carolina, not much better, especially on the pass protection.
I hear you. The Seahawks need a bounce back here, or else I'm going to have to start being skeptical of them, too. And you don't want that, Seattle.
No, you don't.
All right, I have to go make water, or else we could continue to speak here.
I gotta eat.
So we're going to wrap it up here. Good work, MVP. Nay, great work, Ryan Bartlett, JD, everybody behind the glass there. Cynthia Freeland and Matt Harmon. Check out all his work, NFL Fantasy Live, the podcast, and the great pages, NFL.com. The Fantasy Hipsters even have their own URL. And Cynthia Freeland, like we say, game day morning. Speaking of game day morning, look out for your old pal Dave. He'll be on there as well, talking about Eli and Big Ben. We'll be back after week 13 in front of week 14 to help you figure out what's going to happen then. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.